Our scripture lesson this evening comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. A familiar psalm, I'm sure, to many, if not all of us. We want to look again at what David is saying here and look at some of the characteristics of this psalm and how David speaks to us through this psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's God's word for us this evening. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, of all the books of the Bible, the book of Psalms may be the one that's read and referred to more than any other book. The New Testament writers certainly loved the Psalms. There are 125 direct quotations from the Psalms in the New Testament. And if you ask a believer for their favorite Bible passage, many times it comes from the Psalms. Now, the Psalms have, of course, many chapters to them, but the one chapter in Psalms that I think many people are aware of, familiar with, and maybe even love the best is Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is, I think, to Bible passages a lot like Amazing Grace is to Christian music. People seem to know Psalm 23. They may not believe it, many non-Christians, of course, but I think they're familiar. If you mention Psalm 23, they've heard of it before. And Psalm 23 might be the first Bible passage that you memorize when you were in Sunday school or when you were in Christian school. Many people have said to me that they were asked by their mother or father to read Psalm 23 to them when their mom or dad was on their deathbed. And if you recall back on 9/11, if you remember that flight, I think it was United Flight 93 that left from Newark to go to San Francisco, and it was hijacked, and the terrorists were flying it with the intention of crashing it into one of the buildings in Washington, D.C., and the passengers overtook the cabin. And before that plane crashed, many of the passengers made phone calls on their cell phones to say goodbye to their loved ones or friends. And there's a story about a man that called an AT&T operator during those last minutes of his life and asked the operator to recite Psalm 23 with him. Now, why is Psalm 23 such a favorite psalm? Why is that so? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. And as we look at Psalm 23 this evening, we want to look at the fact that it is packed with truths and language that are personal, all-sufficient, and comforting. And I'd like to unpack those truths with you this evening. And as we do that, we want to remember the lifestyle of a Middle Eastern shepherd. And we also want to think about the land where they would pasture their sheep, because it really helps us to understand what David is saying here in Psalm 23. So first of all, let's look at the fact that Psalm 23 is personal. It's a short psalm. It's only 6 verses, but it is packed with personal pronouns. There are 17 personal pronouns in those 6 verses. That's almost an average of 3 per verse. Actually, it's 2.833333. I calculated it. But David makes this psalm very personal. He starts out by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." And who better to compare his relationship to God to that between a shepherd and a sheep to David, who was a shepherd when he was a little boy. And David is saying here that the Lord is my shepherd. What does he mean when he says that? And this theme of the Lord being a shepherd is actually found over 200 times throughout the Bible. And if you have your Bibles open, turn with me to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis 48, verse 15. Here Jacob had called his sons together and he was blessing them. And here he's blessing Joseph and his sons. And he says here in verse 15, says, "Then he," that is Jacob, "blessed Joseph and said, 'May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day.'" Jacob considered God his shepherd. And turn with me also to Isaiah 40, verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Here again is reference to God being like a shepherd. It says here that "He that is God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." And we're going to come back to that verse in a few minutes. And then just turn over to the next book, Jeremiah 31, verse 10. Jeremiah 31, verse 10. It says here, "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd." God is often referred to or compared to a shepherd and relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. Well, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when he says this, he's saying a couple of things. First of all, you can just almost see David, a confident statement here. "You know who my shepherd is? It's the Lord, the God who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who owns me, who manages me, who protects me, who guides me, who provides for all of my needs. My shepherd is the Lord, the God of the universe." And he also says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd or the Lord is our shepherd, but he makes it very personal. "The Lord my shepherd." And when he says the Lord is my shepherd, he's saying a couple of things here. First of all, he's saying that he depends completely on the shepherd. You see, by nature, sheep are rather foolish and helpless animals. And they therefore depend completely on the shepherd. The shepherd has to provide everything for the sheep. Without the shepherd, the sheep would literally die. Let me give you an example of that. My brother Glenn lives in northeastern Indiana. And he lives amongst some Amish people. And one of his neighbors has sheep. And several years ago, he said that a couple of his neighbor's sheep wandered out of his property and onto my brother's property. And they went down this pathway that had a fence on both sides, and this pathway led up to a gate. And when the sheep got to the gate, they didn't know what to do. They couldn't open the gate, and they were too foolish to figure that, well, you know, if we just turn around, we can get out. So they sat there all night, and unfortunately it was in the wintertime, and it was below freezing, and those two sheep died. The sheep depend totally on the shepherd. And David was saying, when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he said, "I totally depend on God for everything that I need." But there's something else here that David is saying. And to understand this, we need to understand the difference between shepherds here in the Western Hemisphere and Middle Eastern shepherds. Now, here in the Western Hemisphere, shepherds tend to walk behind the sheep and they drive them from place to place. But in the Middle East, the shepherds walk ahead of the sheep and the sheep follow the shepherd. And the reason why the shepherd does that is to make sure that the way ahead is safe for the sheep to go. that there's no poisonous plants that they might eat or snakes or wild animals that may harm them. And so David was saying here is that when he said that the Lord is my shepherd, he said, I follow God wherever he leads me. I go wherever he takes me. I'm obedient to him. And God takes me wherever I need to go. In the book of John, John talks about the personal relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, Jesus talks about being like a shepherd. If you look at chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then if you drop down to verse 14, Jesus continues and said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The shepherd recognized the voice, or the sheep recognized the voice of the shepherd. We're told that in the Middle East, at night, several shepherds will keep their sheep in one pen together. And in the morning, when they head out, the shepherd will call out his sheep, and his sheep recognize his voice, and only his sheep will follow him. And David's saying is that's the relationship that I have with God. It's like today when you call up somebody that you know real well, and before you can even introduce yourself, they might say, oh, hi, Trudy, or hi, Steve, or hi, Rich. They know your voice. You have a relationship with them. And David says, that's the type of relationship that I have with God, because the Lord is my shepherd. Several years ago, in one of the devotions, the books that I was reading, there's a story that they told that I think illustrates the personal relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, between God and his people. It goes like this. One of England's leading actors was being honored at a banquet. After dinner, the master of ceremonies asked the actor if he would recite for the guests. He consented, asking if there was something in particular someone would like to hear. After a moment's pause, an old clergyman spoke up, saying, Sir, would you recite the 23rd Psalm? For a moment, the actor was speechless. Then he said, Yes, I will be glad to, but on one condition. That is, after I have recited it, you will do the same. Impressively, the great actor recited the psalm, holding his audience spellbound. As he finished, a great burst of applause broke forth from the guests. After the applause ceased, the clergyman quietly arose. The audience listened as the psalm was given. When it was done, there was not a dry eye in the room. After a moment of silence, the actor said, I reached your ears, but this man reached your hearts. I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. That's the relationship that David had with the shepherd, with our God. Well, Psalm 23 is not only personal, but it's also all-sufficient. David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not be in want, or I shall lack nothing, depending on the translation that you might use. And when David says that, I shall not want, there's two things he's mentioning here. Number one, he's saying that he is thoroughly or completely managed by the shepherd, that the shepherd gives him everything that he needs. There's nothing else that he needs in this life. But secondly, David is not only saying he has what he needs, but he says that I don't even want or desire anything else. He is utterly satisfied, utterly content with what the shepherd provides. You know the term, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Well, that comes from sheep, because the sheep always want to try and get on the other side of the fence. They think the grass is better over there. Well, David says, I don't need to get on the other side of the fence because I'm in completely satisfied with the grass, with what God gives me each day. Now, when David says that I don't need or want anything else, does that mean that when we follow God as our shepherd, that God is going to just give us everything that we need materially, that he's going to just set us up for life, that we'll have a great paying job, that we'll have a big house, we'll have a number of expensive cars, etc., etc., etc.? No, that's not what God, or it's not what David is talking about here. In fact, Jesus tells us in Revelation that you may have all those things, and certainly God does bless believers with material things, but that doesn't mean that you have everything. In fact, in Revelation 3, verses 14 through 17, here he speaks to the angel, or he speaks to the church in Laodicea. And in the end of that, he says, "You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." And if you remember the story about the rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus. He had everything that anyone would want in this life. Yet he must have known that he was missing something. And he asked Jesus, "What do I still need to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Go and sell everything to the poor." He didn't have everything. What David is talking about here is not necessarily material things, although God certainly provides us with what we need, but he's talking about spiritual blessings. Look with me at Psalm 23 here as he goes through these verses. He says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He gives me rest. He leads me beside still waters. He gives me refreshment. He restores my soul. He revives me. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He gives me guidance each day." He talks about his rod and staff comforting us, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. "He prepares a table before me. He gives me sustenance. He anoints my head with oil. He gives me joy. And my cup runneth over. I have everything that I need and more." And he says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Everything in this life and everything in the life to come. And just to illustrate what David is talking about here, the fact that he's not necessarily saying that God's going to set you up for life. Look at verse 2 here. He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, I always thought about that as, you know, the shepherd would bring the sheep into these acres and acres of green grass, you know, ankle-high grass, and the sheep would have it made for years, that they had all the grass that they could ever eat. But that's not what David would see as a shepherd boy in the Middle East. You see, in the Middle East, a green pasture might be an area where there's maybe clumps of grass here and there. Enough maybe for the sheep to have a meal or maybe to have food for that day. But then the shepherd would have to take them on to another green pasture. And when that was done, he would bring them to another green pasture and on and on. And what David was saying here when he said he leads me into green pasture, that he makes me to lie down in green pastures, he was saying that I depend on God every day for what he gives me. I don't depend on what he's going to give me tomorrow or the next day or the next day. But I depend on him to give me what I need today. That's all that I need. It's just like when the Israelites went through the desert. God gave them manna. And what did he tell them to do? He told them to take only enough for that day, because if they took any more, it would spoil. God was trying to teach the Israelites to depend on him, that they could depend on him, that he would provide that manna every day. It would be there. Don't worry about it. Trust me. And David said, "I trust God to give me what I need every day. I don't have to worry about tomorrow or the next day or next year." In June, a colleague of mine in the water industry, he works for the Philadelphia Water Department, gave me this book that's called Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything. It's written by one of the grandsons of Dr. Billy Graham. And he works through this book and illustrates how there's nothing else that we need except for Jesus. And being an equation and me being an engineer, I like to rearrange the equation. And you can do that by subtracting or adding or multiplying whatever to each side of the equation to keep it in balance. And so this says Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Well, if we subtract Jesus from each side of the equation, that doesn't sound very good to subtract Jesus, but if we did that, we would get everything minus Jesus equals nothing. So we might have everything, or someone might have everything that you could possibly want in this world, but if you have Jesus, you have nothing. And when we have Jesus, we don't need anything else. We have everything that we need. And that's what David was talking about here. Again, the same devotional book. God has given me some really great devotional books to read over the years where I've been able to get some really neat stories that illustrate what God is saying in His Word. And here's a story I think that illustrates the all-sufficient nature of Psalm 23. It says, once a little boy was taught the first line of Psalm 23 by his grandfather. The grandfather said, "The Lord is my shepherd." The little boy repeated it. Thinking that this was as much as the little boy could remember, the grandfather said, "That's enough." The little fellow repeated, "That's enough." From then on, whenever asked to recite this verse, the little boy would say, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's enough." And it's a cute little story, but it's true. When the Lord is your shepherd, that's enough. That's all that we need. We don't need anything else. And that's why David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, Psalm 23 is personal, it's all sufficient, and it's also comforting. Let's take a look at verse 4. David writes, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David said, "Even though I walk through the valley." Now, again, if we think about the Middle Eastern shepherd, that oftentimes they would lead the sheep through a valley or through a ravine in order to get up to some higher land where there was some better pasture land. But in these valleys, there would be more bushes, more shrubs, more trees, and so it would be cooler, be a little bit darker, and even a little bit more dangerous than the open area. There may be robbers or wild animals hiding behind some of these bushes. But the shepherd would lead them through it in order to get to better land. And God sometimes leads us through valleys in our lives as well. Maybe it's a prolonged illness. Maybe it's death in the family. Maybe financial crisis or broken relationship, or you can go on and on. But God leads us through those valleys so that we can become stronger, so that we can depend more and more on Him. And it's for our good, just like the shepherd would lead the sheep through these valleys for their good. And notice that David says, "Even though I walk through the valley." He doesn't say, "Even though I get bogged down in the valley," or "I get stuck," or "I get lost in the valley." He says, "Even though I go through the valley." And that reminds me of some verses from Isaiah. In Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, verse 2, where Isaiah writes, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." David says God helps us to get through these difficult times in our lives. And he says that, "Even though I go through these valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Again, when we look at the Middle Eastern shepherd, they knew that these valleys were somewhat dangerous to the sheep. And so instead of being in front of the sheep, they would often drop back and walk with the sheep. And they would maybe even sometimes carry the sheep through these valleys. We read before Isaiah 40, verse 11, where it says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart." It reminds me of that poem that maybe some of you know called Footprints. It's a poem where a man has a dream. And he dreams that he's walking along the beach with God. And he's going through his life. And as he looks back on his life, he looks back on the beach, he sees two sets of footprints. But he says to God, he says, "But when I look back, I see there are some times in my life, and they were difficult times, when there was only one set of footprints. Where were you when I really needed you?" And the poem ends with this, with the Lord's reply. It says, "The Lord replied, 'My precious, precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." God carries us through those difficult times. And David says that he's not afraid because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, what is that rod and that staff to us today? Well, the rod was a long stick, something like this without the curved end. I told Pastor Kuchen in the council room that I had sprained my ankle and I may not be able to make it up here this evening. And he fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. But I use that as a prop. Somebody thought I was going to hit them when I came in. I'm not going to do that either. But that rod was like a weapon that was used on the enemies, on the enemies of the sheep, wild animals or maybe burglars. And it was a symbol to them of protection and power and authority. And you might ask the question, well, what is that rod today? What is that rod to us? Well, listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians 6, verse 17. He says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The word of God is that weapon. And if you remember that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, how did he fight off the devil? By quoting from Deuteronomy three times. Each time he quoted from God's word. He used God's word. This is our equivalent to the rod that the shepherd would use. We have the word of God to comfort us. And what about the staff? Well, that staff was like this cane, a long stick, but with a hooked end, and it was used on the sheep instead of on enemies. And it would be used maybe to pull the sheep closer to the shepherd, or maybe if the sheep got stuck in a ditch, the shepherd could gently pull them out. And it was a symbol of compassion and comfort and concern to the sheep. And of course, today, we have God's Holy Spirit to comfort us, to live in us, to guide us and direct us each day. So God's Holy Spirit and His Word are like that rod and that staff. But one other thing that I want to talk about here in verse 4. David says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He doesn't say, "Even though I walk through the valley of death." He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." What does he mean by the shadow of death? Well, several years ago, I read a book by Chuck Swindoll. And he told a story about Dr. Donald Barnhouse, who used to be pastor of the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And when I read this story, right away, I was directed toward this verse in Psalm 23. This is how the story goes. The great preacher, Dr. Donald Barnhouse, lost his wife when she was only in her 30s. She left him with three children, ages 12 and under. Dr. Barnhouse chose to bury his wife and conduct the service himself. While he was driving to the memorial service with his three grieving, heartbroken children, staring blankly out the window, a truck passed them on the highway and cast a shadow over their car. Dr. Barnhouse, never losing his brilliant ability to illustrate, paused and thought, what does a father tell his motherless children at a time like this? And he looked at his 12-year-old daughter and said, sweetheart, tell me, would you rather be run over by that truck or by its shadow? Startled by the question, she said, oh, I don't know, Daddy. The shadow, I guess. Why? He asked. Because the shadow can't hurt you. He then said, children, listen. Your mother has not been run over by death, but by the shadow of death. And that shadow is going to cross over every one of us. But when we are in Christ, ultimately, the shadow can't hurt us. That really hit me, and it still gives me tingles when I read that. And it really makes what David says here, really makes it stand out. That I don't have to worry about death. And the reason is because just as the shepherd would go ahead of the sheep to make sure everything was safe, Jesus went ahead of us and experienced death for us so that we don't have to experience death. In fact, Jesus said to Martha, remember when Lazarus died? And Jesus said, you believe that Lazarus is not dead. And Martha said, oh, I believe that he will rise at the resurrection. And Jesus says to her in John 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then there's this verse in 1 Corinthians 15 that Paul writes. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 and 55. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You don't have to worry about even death. When we follow the Good Shepherd, we can go through any valley that this life throws our way, even the ultimate valley of death, because we're not hit by death. We're only hit by the shadow of death. Well, David begins this psalm with a nice, confident statement. The Lord is my shepherd. And he ends it with an equally positive affirmation. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John writes about what that's going to be like in Revelation 7, verse 17. He says, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Having been reminded, or maybe seen for the first time from Psalm 23, how it is personal, all-sufficient, and comforting, I think it begs the question of us, of you and me, can we say with David, the Lord is my shepherd? Or can we merely say the psalm? And do we only know the psalm, or do we truly know the shepherd? I trust that all of you here this evening can say, the Lord is my shepherd, just like David. And that you are comforted by the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within you. That you are completely satisfied with everything that God provides. And that you have a personal, intimate relationship with the shepherd, with Jesus Christ, our Lord. To confirm our faith in that great shepherd of the sheep, I invite you to say Psalm 23 with me. I know many of you know it by heart. If you don't, read it from the Bible. Don't worry about what version. If you memorize the King James, that's fine. If you want to read the NIV, that's fine too. But please join me in saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When the Lord is your shepherd, that's enough. Amen. Let's pray.